Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 24th day of April 2019. And I am absolutely thrilled to have a returning guest today who is one of my favorite preachers of all time. His name is Reverend Jeff Thomas. And I have a very strong feeling that most of my listeners know exactly who he is. But for those of you who do not know Reverend Jeff Thomas, he began his ministry at the Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales in 1965 and remained there as pastor for 50 years until his recent retirement. And he is an author. And today we are going to be addressing the life and ministry of one of his favorite Christians from the 20th century, Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Reverend Jeff Thomas.
Thank you very much. It's an honor for me to be on the show and to speak to you and to speak to you about someone who's had such a definitive influence over me and many like me.
Praise God. Well, I know that you are no longer the pastor at Alfred Place Baptist Church, but for the sake of our listeners who either live in Wales, we do have listeners in Wales, but also for the sake of those who may be visiting there, they may have family there, can you tell us something about this wonderful church where you served for over half a century as their pastor?
Yes. Well, yes, it's a little university town on the Irish Sea, on the far west coast of the UK, and it has a university of 10,000, and 10,000 people live in the town. And I went there, and I thought I was starting at the top. I never felt I needed to go anywhere else and to do what I was doing there. Walk with God and preach His word to a people that kept saying year after year, continue to preach to us. And so then my wife grew ill at the end, and she had Alzheimer's, and I nursed her, and then she passed away, and I had retired. And my dear grandson, he was a member of the congregation 5 years, and he went off to seminary, and we realized how much we esteemed him, and so the church almost unanimously called him, and he is now living in the parsonage where I lived, and he is raising three little boys where I raised three little girls, and the church loves him, and he's done 2 years there, and it's a very happy union of preacher and congregation.
And their website describes this church as an independent and Baptist church who stands together for the historic Christian faith based on the Bible. For any more details, would you categorize this as a Reformed Baptist church?
It's a 1689 Confession Church. That's what it is.
That's what I thought. I couldn't imagine you preaching anywhere else for 50 years.
That's right. Yes.
And did I remember how to pronounce Aberyst with
correctly? You did it well. The rust is it build it round the rust.
Aberyst with. So the emphasis is on the rust.
It is.
And if anybody would like more information about this fine church, you can go to alfredplacechurch.org.uk. alfredplacechurch.org.uk.
And I've got over 1,000 sermons, the full text of what I preached, long series on Genesis and Zechariah and Mark and Luke and Romans, Revelation, Philippians, the pastoral epistles, Ephesians, the whole text of all those sermons, and I get many hits, and just go to Google and put in Jeff Thomas sermons, and they'll take you there. And I was just talking to a pastor friend yesterday, and I asked him, what are you preaching on? Mark's Gospel, he said. Oh, how far you got? Chapter 9. Oh, very good. He said, yes, I'm getting help from a certain Welshman. So he was reading my sermons and finding them a help to him. And I'm so glad. That's my gift to the Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, I am so blessed that my very first pastor, when I first left Roman Catholicism and became a born-again believer at what was then called Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, Long Island, and it later became, after a merger, a Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York. But my very first pastor, Mike Gaidosh, who operates Solid Ground Christian Books in Port St. Lucie, Florida now, he introduced me to your ministry many years ago. I am so delighted that he did, and so grateful that he did.
Yeah, what a lovely brother he is.
Amen. Well, you're also going to be preaching. You're one of the preachers at the Foundations Conference, which is coming up in December of this year in New York City. I am so delighted to be returning to this conference. I have been to all of them for the last 4 years, I believe.
Right.
And it's in the heart of Manhattan. And this year, they're going to be focusing on the theme Prayer and Preaching, the Foundations of Ministry. That's December 19th and 20th. And you, I will be mentioning the whole roster later on, but you are one of the speakers. I don't even know if you are aware yet, but do you know what you will specifically be speaking on under the heading of Prayer and Preaching?
Oh, I've been urged to give a word to younger ministers and pastors from my experience and a word of encouragement and exhortation from what I've observed and known in my own life. And they've seen some interviews that I've done, and that's the theme. And then at the banquet to close, I'm just going to give another similar sort of word, yes. Steve Lawson is also speaking, and I'm looking forward very much. I get great help from his preaching.
Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to seeing Dr. Lawson again. I've seen him a number of times preach, and I'm looking forward to another opportunity. And when you mentioned young pastors, I immediately thought of one of the speakers there this December. I don't know if you've ever heard him, but you are going to be very blessed by Reverend Armin Tomasian. I don't know if you've heard him yet, but he is, I believe, going to be a household name amongst Reformed Christians over the next decade. Reverend Armin Tomasian is a pastor within the Free Presbyterian Church of North America denomination. And he's originally from Northern Ireland, but is now pastoring in South Carolina. And I am just thoroughly blessed beyond words by this brother. And he's a young man, but he has gifts and wisdom beyond his youth. So,
So other people have told me, oh, I said, who are these other men? And then they've said to me exactly what you've said to me. So it's whetted my appetite to listen to him and get to know him, have a meal with him when we are in New York.
And by the way, congratulations are in order for Reverend Jeff Thomas. I just learned this before we went on the air, but our dear brother has found a new bride after his first wife went home to be with the Lord, and he has married an old friend, correct?
Yes, that's right. I've married Barbara, and we've known each other since 1977, And my girls, my three daughters then love her, and she's been to all their weddings. And my girls were very encouraging. Get married as soon as you can, Dad, one of them said. So they've got, they know there's someone to look after me in my decrepitude.
Well, I hardly view you as being decrepit. You've got more energy and passion than most people my age and younger. So.
Well, it's extraordinary how God keeps me, and I hope I'll redeem these years. I've got a couple of books coming out. I've got the Life of Brownlow North, that's coming out this summer. Joel Beakey is publishing that. I think Brownlow North is the greatest evangelist of the 19th century. And then I've got a book called, I've called it, You Could Have It All. And it's really getting at the prosperity gospel. And
a criticism of it.
Free offer. You could have it all. You could know God. You could know yourself. You could have forgiveness of your sins. You could have all things working together for your good. You could have God supplying all your need. You could know contentment in whatever state you're in. You could have hope at the end of eternal life with Jesus Christ. And it's got 10 chapters like that, which, you know, compared to the feeble greenbacks and the big car in the driveway, that health and wealth are saying, what are they compared to the blessings that the mere believer who trusts in Jesus Christ can have?
Well, I am looking forward to that, and we have to have you back on the show to discuss that when it's in print.
Very good.
Who's publishing? Oh, Joel Beakey with the Reformation Heritage Books.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, Joel's a friend. I've known Joel since the early 1990s. And in fact, that was one of the people that was involved in getting Joel on the radio for the very first time in his life, because his former denomination did not believe in using the radio. It's a bit of a hyper-Calvinist denomination that Joel left. And,
of course.
And he is, what a powerful preacher he is.
Oh, what a gift he is to the church. I'm just finishing reading. I've got two chapters to go now of the 500 on his book, Reformed Preaching. And it's been very, very helpful.
Praise God. Well, we are discussing the life and ministry of Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones today. Oh, by the way, I just want to quick let our listeners know, I forgot to give the website for the Foundations Conference. I'm sure I'll be repeating this later, but the Foundations Conference, if anybody would like to register, it's being held, as I said, December 19th and 20th in New York City, and our guest Jeff Thomas is just one of the speakers on the roster there. Go to thefoundationsconference.com. That's thefoundationsconference.com. And all the details that you will need for this conference, December 19th and 20th in New York City, are right there. But going back to the life and ministry of Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, did you know him personally? I know that he just went home to be with the Lord in the early 1980s, I believe, perhaps 1981?
That's right, March the 1st.
And did you know him personally?
Yes, well, 60 years ago, September 1958. I was almost 20. I was still a teenager. I'd finished in school, hadn't started university, and I'd been to summer camp. I'd been a Christian 2 or 3 years and hung around the officers, and they were talking one night, smiling and reverently, in an uncharacteristic reverence that's for students, about a man they called the Doctor. The way they talked about him, they just, this was obviously somebody special. And then I noticed in the Saturday night newspaper, the religious notices, that he was preaching at an ordination service in Cardiff on the Wednesday night. So I took a train into Cardiff and walked along Cathedral Row to the Memorial Hall, and the place was packed, men in suits, women with hats. We sang Top Lady and Wesley and Watts, and he preached as he set aside Dr. Eugene Evans for the ministry on We Are Ambassadors for Christ. And that was my first encounter with him, and it was different. And I wanted to know why, and why was this important? And that was just before I started university, and soon I was reading what is my favorite book of his, Studies in the Sermon on the Mount. And I found that enormously helpful. And then a similar volume of an earlier generation, J.C. Ryle's Holiness. And those two volumes became really the foundation of what I considered the preaching ministry to be. It showed me the beauty of a righteous life. I wanted to live like that, and I wanted to preach like that. And so then I had to explore about this man and who he was, and I heard him every year, and we'd many conversations together. And at the centenary of my church in 1970, the doctor came and preached twice for us at that time. But alternate years, he would come and preach in Aberystwyth, and I would be the chairman of the meeting. You see, we always look back in Wales to the Great Revival, the last Great Revival in the British Isles in 1904. In Wales. And there were three movements that came out of that revival. There was firstly one of the branches of the Pentecostal Church, the Apostolic Church, and the esteemed Pastor Dan, who was a man of awesome godliness and earnestness. And they formed a network of little Pentecostal churches, the Apostolic Church. And then the second movement that came out were the children of the revival, as they were called. And they were the people who remained in the churches and ran the Sunday school, took the young people's meetings, prayed in the prayer meetings, were deacons and elders, and were not discerning. But whenever there was a gospel preached, whenever Dr. Lloyd-Jones would visit in those next 30 years, their hearts beat faster, and they were some of the loveliest men I knew. I'd speak in the old people's home in Aberystwyth once a month, and there was Mrs. Harris, pint-sized, 5 foot, and after I finished speaking, she would propose the vote of thanks. She'd get up and she'd say, "Now you listen to what this young man has said to us. You listen to what he said. I wasn't a Christian until 1904 when God met with me and saved me, and you need to be saved too." And there were these people, the children of the revival, that were scattered. And then there was the third group, and they were the mission hall people, the tin tabernacles, people who spoke to their fellow members when they themselves had an experience they called entering into the blessing. And they were urging their fellow church members to have this experience, to irritating them. And they were driven out of many churches. And they formed these corrugated iron meeting places along the South Wales industrial strip and the valleys. They were the three movements that came out of the 1904 revival. But Lloyd-Jones's family, he didn't belong to any of those movements at all. They were nominal Presbyterians. At that time, the denomination was called the Calvinistic Methodists. And that's where they were. They weren't Pentecostal. They had no experience of the revival. They were suspicious of the revival, his father and his mother. They weren't tin tabernacle people at all. So he had none of those influences. But then, God always does something new. And God did something new then in 1921 to a medical student in Barts and St. Thomas's in London, one of the top students of his year, one who was working with Lord Horden, who was the king's physician, and had a glittering career mapped out in front of him. But he said to me, in my little room upstairs in the hospital, I had good times in that room. And I love the modesty and the mystery of his description of his communion with God and his time with God as more and more the gospel of Jesus Christ gripped him and touched him and changed him, so that he increasingly desired to become a preacher of the gospel and bypass this career. When he went to Sandfields to preach as a candidate in the mid-1920s, the second time he preached there, they were voting that night on giving him a call, and he got the night train back to London, the 4-5 hour journey, and they were voting on him, and he then went to the hospital, and there was a little note in the pigeonhole, and he took the note out and he had a look at it, and the note said, "The chief registrar wants to see you immediately." So he went up the stairs to the chief registrar's office and went in, and there was the chief registrar and the senior doctor, and they were both poring over newspapers that were stretched out over the table. And they said, "Is this true?" And they pointed to the newspapers, and the newspapers heading in one prominent column was, "London doctor leaves medicine to become a preacher in Port Talbot. Is this true?" "Oh, I'm terribly sorry," he said to them. "You were to be the first to know about this. There's been a leak to the press. I'm desperately sorry. My deep apologies. Is this true?" they said. "Yes," he said, "it is true." You're giving up medicine to become a preacher?" "Yes," he said. And then they persuaded him of all the advantages that he would have, all the good he would do as a doctor. And he was obdurate. He had come to that crisis, and he put his hand to the plow, as Jesus says, and he wasn't looking back. And then they berated him and told him how foolish he was to turn away from this now, to go to a steel town and to be a preacher. And finally he looked at them and he said, "When you and I have done everything for them we can do, they are still going to die." And he had a message which, in the most famous text of the Bible, tells us of the great hope of the Christian gospel. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that was the constraint. He could see how so many of the people that he had been ministering to and counseling were in the unhealthy state they were because of the way they were abusing their bodies with excess. And the only deliverance that he knew for that was through the power of the indwelling Spirit applying to them that redemption and forgiveness that's in Jesus Christ. And he never looked back on that. On his call to the ministry of the gospel. And, you know, he was there in Port Talbot from 1925 to 1936, 1937, and then he was in London, and then the war came. And you might have thought at that time that he had exhausted himself and his ministry, and he'd had this experience, and his great interest then was in politics, and that he could have stood as a candidate say, for the Labour Party in the 1945 election, he would have been grabbed by any committee in any of those vast areas of South Wales that sent back with a great majority Labour Member of Parliament. He would have been elected without a doubt. He would have probably been in the cabinet by the end of the 1940s, and then next time Labour came in, he would have been a cabinet minister, and probably he would have ended up as prime minister. I think of him as the greatest prime minister that we never had. But he never looked back. He kept his commitment, his consecration, pure and clear, that he had been called to the greatest work that it's possible for anyone to do, to be a preacher of the everlasting gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And he kept that. He preached for the last time in 1980 in Aberystwyth, the last time in Wales. He preached once more in England, and I had the honor of chairing that meeting. And then the next year, on March the 1st, he went home to glory, and he's left us the legacy then of all these wonderful volumes of his preaching. And new volumes continually come out now, and they are read by hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. He is now known and loved by millions more that knew him and sat under his ministry when he was still alive. I think the day that Christ returns, there'll be somebody in the world that morning reading a book of Dr. Lloyd-Jones and finding his faith rekindled or regenerated. And he'll be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ that day through the living work. You know, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth. It lasts. And I'm so glad of 60 years ago that I first heard him. And our friendship was very precious. And his example and his ministry was powerful in my own life. I needed a role model. I couldn't find one in the denomination that I was a part of, but I found it in him.
Praise God. And by the way, I know that Banner of Truth has a DVD called Logic on Fire, The Life and Legacy of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, that our listeners should, every one of you listening, should get a hold of this at banneroftruth.org. Banneroftruth.org. You can also get it at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com. Logic on Fire. It almost sounds oxymoronic. two things that normally don't go together, logic and fire. But what a great title for a DVD on the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones.
That describes his preaching. It was preaching is theology on fire, the word of God applied. It's, of course, it goes back to the road to Emmaus and the opening up of the scriptures there. Did not our hearts burn within us as he tarried with us, as he stayed with us by the way? And, let me tell you about him. He was a Welshman, of course. He had no class consciousness. He had no classy accent. He had a lovely London Welsh accent. He was courteous and sensitive with a warm vitality. He's buried in Wales in a little graveyard 45 minutes south of Aberystwyth in Newcastle, Emlyn. I remember when John Stott died 3 years ago, and John Stott was cremated, and the Christian people in Holland were just amazed. And one of the newspapers, the Dagblad, called me and said, "Is this true? Do you evangelicals get cremated then?" Unthought of in Holland. I had always thought John Stott would be in a lovely country graveyard under an elm tree and a nice place to visit and see the testimony, but no, he was cremated. But Dr. O'Jones and his wife are there in a row of graves, the text I preached, nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, and heirs together of the grace of life, he and his wife. Yes, so a Welshman. And then very forthcoming, not reserved, not reticent. He took you into his confidence, like the Welsh head of a family. He opened up to you. And as you were a minister and he was a minister, he saw you, there was a parity and a sharing. And he spoke to me then. He spoke to me of J.I. Packer and Ian Murray and John Murray and Westminster and John Stott. And he spoke to me of the man he had worked with when he first went to Westminster. And he spoke about me to other people. I remember some friends of mine many years ago said to him, "Oh, we're going on Whit Monday to a Bible conference, and Jeff Thomas is speaking." And the doctor said, "Oh, you've got to be careful with him." He said, "He's a bit extreme." You had 3 years at Westminster Seminary under Cornelius Van Til and John Murray, then you would be a bit of a Turk in what you believed, in what you spoke about. And I was. I took no survivors in my early years. And he was right to say, you know, I was learning. I was on a steep learning curve. And so he was forthcoming and plain. And he had his foibles too. You know, he would say, "I don't preach at weddings." So if you wanted a sermon at your wedding, you had to get one of your friends in to do the sermon. He would marry you. He found children's meetings to be most difficult. Once a year, he had to speak to the Sunday school at Westminster Chapel. The most difficult meeting of the year, he would say. He disliked organizing committee work. When he had to, he was very competent. But he felt the more organization that was required, then the more complex it became, and so it was less spiritual. He loved the spontaneous within the moral and theological structures of the New Testament. His view of baptism was different. You know, he didn't believe in infant baptism, but he didn't believe in baptism by immersion. He poured on the head the new converts at the business meeting of the church. That's how he did it.
Wow. Now, was that common amongst Calvinistic Methodists?
The pouring was common, but of course they poured on babies.
That's what I thought.
As well.
Yeah.
And they did it on Sundays. You know, it was a big occasion for the families of all that were involved, but it was nothing like that for Lloyd Jones.
In fact, could we pick up right where you left off there when we return from our station break, because we have to go to our first break right now. And we'll pick right up where you left off on his view of baptism. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question for my guest today, Jeff Thomas, about the Reverend, the Dr. D. Martin Lloyd Jones, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeff Thomas right after these messages from our sponsors.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and His church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, for all your gift-giving needs, go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and help the ministry of Mike Gadosh of Solid Ground Christian Books. Mike Gadosh, as I just said earlier in the program during my interview with Jeff Thomas, he was my very first pastor. He immersed me in the waters of baptism, and he is still a great blessing to me personally and to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to this day, because his organization, his ministry, Solid Ground Christian Books, financially supports this program. So if you help Mike Gadosh remain in existence with Solid Ground Christian Books, you are going to help us, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, remain in existence. So just remember, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends on solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com. We are now back with Jeff Thomas. We are discussing the life and ministry of Martin Lloyd-Jones, and you were speaking about his views of baptism, which were unusual for a Calvinist Methodist, because he believed in credo baptism, the baptism of believers alone, but he did not immerse. He poured. You reminded me, not only when you mentioned his views of baptism, but when you mentioned Port Talbot, Wales, you reminded me of my friend who is now with the Lord, Peter Jeffrey, who pastored the church that was first pastored by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, Sandfields in Port Talbot.
Yes.
And I had the rare privilege of having Peter Jeffrey visit my mother when she was dying of pancreatic cancer, and he was alone with her for about a half hour, and he emerged from her sickbed and gave me such great reassurance that she was truly born again. And in fact, I can remember him saying to me, "I don't know what you're worried about. Your mother's born again. She's going to heaven." But he told me, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves me right, Peter Jeffrey told me that at Sandfields, I don't know if they did this when Dr. Jones was there, but he said that at Sandfields, when at least when Peter Jeffrey was pastoring, they permitted both believer baptism by immersion or pouring or infant baptism. Do you know that to be the case? Is my memory serving me?
It was open to both modes of baptism, infant baptism and believer's baptism. That's the case. And they did install a tank for immersion. Dr. Jones said, reading John Murray on Christian baptism, that persuaded him that the mode was pouring.
Huh.
He wasn't persuaded that it was the children of believers who should be baptized. But he never made a lot of that. He never spoke about it. But that was his own conviction for the church.
Now, I'm just curious, when you were talking before about his decision, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones's decision, not to pursue a career in medicine where he was trained, for which he was trained, but to pursue the pastoral ministry. Do you know how his parents and his wife perhaps may have reacted to that? Because I can't help but remember learning about Martin Luther's own father becoming furious when Martin Luther gave up a future in law to become a priest when he was still a Roman Catholic. And I don't know if... I can imagine many very strong Christians wondering if their child was making the right
mistake
by becoming a pastor rather than pursuing medicine where they had been trained.
I thought it did create perplexity. It created perplexity for his parents, but particularly for his wife. And she said to him, of course, she trained as a doctor too, and her father was a doctor, and there was great status to that vocation. But she said to him, "But you've never preached." "Yes, I have," he said. "I've preached to myself." And that was very interesting, wasn't it, that he did that. And of course, she wasn't converted at that time. She was converted under his ministry. She was one of the first fruits of his preaching in Sandfields when they were married and went to 28 Victoria Street there in that little house. And yes, that was the amazing thing. I remember Derek Thomas telling me when he told his father, a farmer, that he wasn't pursuing the mathematics course and to teach mathematics that he was learning at Aberystwyth University, but that he was going to become a preacher. And his father said to him, "What a waste." And there are these responses, aren't they, for an unbelieving world, that you know, the future is a future without church and without God. And there we are. The Lord kept him and wonderfully used him for all these years. And he was, you know, he swam against the stream of pietistic evangelicalism. He stood for unpopular truths that were neglected. He read Warfield, he read Jonathan Edwards, and he learned from them. He exposed the folly of evangelistic methodology that was being employed, and he felt that there were the gospel was being muted and diluted, and he prodded people to think. He challenged them, and of course he challenged us Calvinists too. Do you think that believing the confession of faith is the complete answer? Do you think the 5 points are all that you need now? What of a godly walk with God? What of prayer? What of the presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life? He was very probing. When he began in London and in the 50s, then the Banner of Truth publication started to come out, and we were reading them and buying them. It was a new world that was being opened to us. And people across the country were getting concerned. And he was getting a letter a month from one or another saying, what's happening to all the young men? They're all becoming hyper-Calvinists. So he then, that note that I remember so well came into ministers' conferences and into his preaching, warning us of that there was that Christianity was much bigger and evangelism was much bigger than just rehearsing the 5 points. And by his life, he showed such delight in gospel preaching. That was the joy about it, that he would. His preaching was so experiential and experimental. He preached to the mind, firstly, and then he preached to the conscience, to get the conscience on your side. And then he went to the affections to show you how lovable Jesus Christ was, and all these to bring pressure to bear on the will to make a decision. He just didn't preach to the will preeminently to decide, but to give stuff to your mind to think of and your conscience to tell you that you were in need of salvation. And his preaching was aimed at bringing divine realities to the congregation, to individual personal response to holy living. And his preaching was doxological and praiseworthy and instructive. It was food. There were no frivolous illustrations. He spoke to the congregation, and with great animation he bounced around that big round pulpit in Westminster Chapel, and he addressed the needs of the 1,400 people or so that were there. And London, in a great city, is a great sin. And they came, and he answered their questions, and he was immensely interesting. It was entertaining. And, of course, people used that against him. I was speaking to a man who was a vet in London from Wales, and I said to him, do you go to Westminster Chapel? Have you been to hear Dr. Lloyd-Jones? And he looked at his beautiful young wife, and they smiled at one another. And he turned to me and he said, that man could make you believe black was white. I saw what had happened, you see. Chris, I saw it. That they had gone along, and the doctor had opened up his great theme of man. Man's guilt, man's impotence and helplessness, man's need of a savior. And they had seen the consequences for this lovely life they had amongst Londoners and the parties and the concerts and everything that they enjoyed so much. And they could see what a change in values it was going to be for them, and the cost it would be for them to take up their cross and follow Jesus Christ. And they silently left Westminster Chapel that night, and they walked up Buckingham Gate together in silence for 100 yards. And then he turned to her and he said, that man could make you believe black was white. And the spell was broken, of course, and they smiled at one another. It was oratory. It was a rhetorician who was speaking, and they were persuaded by that. That's the impact. That's why they felt they needed salvation, and they shrugged it off and went on and kept on the broad way, didn't they? Kept on that way to destruction. And you see, we can't win with the world. The world will say, if we have a heavy sermon, as we often do and preach rather laboriously, the world will say it was heavy. Or then if we have the wind of the Spirit in our sails and we preach with a heavenly unction, then the world will say, oratory, that's all it was. It was man's eloquence, that's all it was. And so, you know, he came under an attack from both those angles. But, oh, what he had to offer, what he had to say.
We have to go to our midway break right now. I hate to interrupt you, but we have to have these commercials to keep our show on the air. And I,
yes, sir.
And I really hate to interrupt you because I'm just utterly fascinated by every word you're saying. This is our longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle because they air their own commercials and public service announcements to localize Iron Trip and Zion Radio to Florida. So please be patient with us as we take this longer than normal break and use this time to write down questions for Jeff Thomas about Martin Lloyd-Jones, or you could ask him any other theological question if you'd like. And also use this time to write down the information provided by our advertisers, because that will enable you to more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers, which means they are more likely going to remain our advertisers, which means we are more likely going to remain on the air. So remember, write down the information provided by our advertisers, and also write down questions for Jeff Thomas. And I thank all of you who are waiting for your questions to be asked, for your patience. And we will get to as many of you as we can with your questions asked and answered by Jeff Thomas. Don't go away. We'll be back after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Stephen Limblet, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Sarnes, and if you just tuned us in, our guest for the full program today is Reverend Jeff Thomas. We are talking about the life and ministry of Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Jeff Thomas, our email address is chrisarnsen@gmail.com. chrisarnsen@gmail.com. Before I return to the discussion, we just have some very important announcements to make regarding upcoming events that we hope that you can attend and take advantage of. First of all, this weekend, I will be manning an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, at Proclamation Presbyterian Church for the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. And the theme this year is Redemption, Accomplished and Applied, which is also a phenomenal book on the Atonement by John Murray. But if you would like to attend this event, I will be there, and I hope that you look for me at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitors booth. It's being held this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 26th, 27th, and 28th. And as I said, it's at the Proclamation Presbyterian Church, Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. The speakers include D.A. Carson, Kevin DeYoung, Liam Gollager, David Murray, and Ian Hamilton, and Joe Thorne. If you would like to register, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then scroll down to Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, Redemption, Accomplished, and Applied. That's April 26th through the 28th in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. And then after that, actually at the same time, for those of you who live in Michigan, tomorrow an event begins in Hudsonville, Michigan, called DORT 400, Safeguarding the Reformed Tradition. And that is a conference being conducted by the Protestant Reformed Theological Seminary, and it's being held at Trinity Protestant Reformed Church in Hudsonville, Michigan. And the speakers at this conference include men such as Professor Ronald Kaminga, Professor Barrett Gritters, Reverend Brian Heisinger, Professor Doug Kuiper, Reverend Bill Langerak, Reverend Mark Shand, and Reverend Angus Stewart. The conference is being held, as I said, from April 25th through the 27th. That's tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. And if you would like to register for this conference, which is absolutely free of charge, go to dort400.org. Don't forget there's two D's in DORT. That's D as in David, O-R, D as in David, T, 400.org, dort400.org. And I hope that if you live in the Michigan area that you will attend this event. Then coming up in May, on Thursday, May 23rd, I am going to be hosting my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon featuring Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. He is going to be speaking on how the Dead Sea Scrolls, Vindicate the Holy Scriptures. That's Thursday, May 23rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. This is absolutely free of charge to all men in ministry leadership, whether you are a pastor or an elder, and I believe those are the same office, by the way, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or whatever other ministry leadership position you have. You are welcome absolutely free of charge. Send me an email if you'd like to come. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And then right from there, after luncheon is over, I'm heading to New York for several speaking engagements that Dr. Costa is going to be involved in. And you can email me for that itinerary if you'd like to attend all of these or some of these speaking engagements on Long Island, New York. And then immediately after leaving Long Island, I'm heading right back to Pennsylvania for another event. And this is the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth, May 28th through the 30th. Tuesday, May 28th through Thursday, May 30th at the Elizabethtown College in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And the speakers include Jeff Kingswood, Terry Johnson, David Vaughn, Steve Nichols, Michael Morales, and Chad Vegas. If you would like to register, if you are a man in ministry leadership, you are eligible to attend this event. Go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, click on events, and then scroll down to East Coast Ministers Conference. I will be there, God willing, so please look for me. Ask around and say, where's Chris Arnes? And hopefully, eventually, you'll find me. I would love to meet as many of my Iron Trippers Iron Radio listeners as possible at this event. Then, the aforementioned event, where my guest, Jeff Thomas, is among a number of speakers. This is the Foundations Conference, a conference of sermonaudio.com. This is being held in New York City on December 19th and 20th. And the speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, the aforementioned Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, Richard Caldwell Jr., and Andrew Quigley. And the theme of the Foundations Conference this December is Prayer and Preaching, the Foundations of Ministry. The venue only holds a little less than 200 people, so if you have any intention of registering, please do it quickly because they may fill up very quickly. TheFoundationsConference.com is the website, TheFoundationsConference.com. And then in January, I am heading back to Atlanta, Georgia, for the G3 Conference. The G3 conference is an extraordinary conference in College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. And this is, I think, one of my highlights of my year is attending this. I'm also going to be manning an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth. Speakers include Costi Hinn, believe it or not, the nephew of the notorious charlatan Benny Hinn. Costi Hinn has renounced his Word of Faith background. He's a Reformed Baptist and a cessationist. He will be speaking at this conference. David Miller is going to be there. What a powerful preacher he is. Reverend Jeff Thomas, I'm sure that's my guest today. Jeff Thomas is thrilled that Derek Thomas is going to be preaching at this conference. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Stephen J. Lawson, again, he's going to be at this conference. Tom Askell, and Vodi Balcom. If you'd like to attend the G3 conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And this is going to be held in January. The exact dates are Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th. That's Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th at the Georgia International Convention Center, College Park, Georgia. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want our program to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We urgently need your donations. We urgently need your advertising dollars if you'd like to advertise something with us. That's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. .com, and then click support, then click to donate now. Please never, ever, ever siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and home. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those commands, please give as frequently as you can and as heavily as you can. at ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You can also mail a check via snail mail, if you prefer, to the address that will appear on your screen. If you do not have a church home or you are a member and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God, you need to rectify that situation. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I can help you find a church. Even if you're going on vacation and you need to find a good church wherever you're heading, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And if you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't have to believe exactly what I believe, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe, then send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And I would be thrilled to help you launch an ad campaign, because we surely do need your advertising dollars. We are now back with our guest today, Reverend Jeff Thomas. Are you still there, Reverend Thomas?
I certainly am.
Okay, because we have an echo going on in the background. I can hear my own voice.
Nuisance.
I don't know if you could turn down your computer or whatever it is that's playing me back there. Do you know if there's a computer on there that's playing me back?
There's nothing on.
Huh. Okay, well, we're going to have to just deal with that. I'm not sure why that's happening. We have a listener in Avon Lake, Ohio, Andrew, and Avon Lake reminds me of my childhood home, Avon Lake in Amityville, Long Island, but this is a different Avon Lake. This is Avon Lake, Ohio. And Andrew has several questions. Is it true that Dr. Jones nailed the pulpit to the platform at Westminster Chapel?
Never heard of that.
Okay, his second question is, other than his book on the Sermon on the Mount, what are some important books Dr. Jones has written?
Well, his sermons on Ephesians and his sermons on Romans are standard. I would think those would be the basic sermons to read and learn from.
And his book, Spiritual Depression, is quite a powerful book.
Yes, that's right. That's been a help to many people as well. His preaching was vital, and the sheer thrill and wonder in his treatment of the great Pauline texts, Ephesians and Romans. We find him saying so often, in many senses, there are no more important verses than the whole range and realm of Scripture than these two verses, and so on. Surely there's no more wonderful, no more striking statement of the truth concerning the Christian than this. And that shows that he was gripped by the Word of God. Our lack of power in preaching may be directly related to the fact that many ministers don't really believe, don't really grasp, don't really appreciate, as he did, that the gospel is the power of God. It's because all his preaching was controlled by the content of the gospel that this was so. It was focused on reconciliation through the death of Christ, and then renewal and the rebirth by the gift of Christ's Spirit. And so it was wonderful and powerful, and we must really grasp the gospel and love the gospel, be gripped by the beauty and glory of the gospel, if we would know anything of the power in preaching that Dr. Lloyd-Jones knew. And so you reading studies in the Sermon on the Mount and Ephesians and Romans and Second Peter and the Man of Truth had just brought out a new paperback of 12 sermons of his from Jeremiah. Just all of it is so helpful. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That was the Lloyd-Jones beauty.
And we have, Andrew has one more question. Given that Lloyd Jones did not attend seminary, do you know how he prepared himself for ministry?
Well, of course he had a very sharp mind. He was a top medical student. He studied and studied, and that is enormously important for anyone who would be useful by the Lord, that you are presenting your body a living sacrifice to God, and you are not being conformed to this world, but you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're bringing your thoughts into captivity to Jesus Christ, and you're saying, take my intellect and use every power as thou wouldst choose. And so he then studied and read. He read the great thinkers of the 20th century. He became familiar with the philosophers from the German school right up until today. And so he knew what the objections to Christianity that his steel workers and coal miners were meeting on the coal face or in front of the furnaces, and when they ate together and they would argue and debate. And he gave them then knowledge from all his reading, and especially, of course, his knowledge of the Bible. But that's what made him the man of God, so helpful, with lasting truths, so relevant for the church in 2019.
We have a mutual friend of yours and mine, Pastor Thomas, or Reverend Thomas, an Aberystwyth, Wales, Mike, who sat under your preaching, and I believe he may still be going to that church, Alfred Street Baptist Church. But Mike in Aberystwyth, Wales, says, what aspects of preaching does he think are missing today? Personally, I think there's a lack of in-depth preaching on the cross other than almost passing references to Christ dying.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a real absence of gospel preaching, which meets with man in his tremendous need and points to the finished work of Christ as the answer to that need. I think his emphasis on revival also is very important. You know, well, think of the characteristics of revival now. Firstly, there'd be the felt presence of God in our meetings. We don't have that very often. Times when God's Spirit descends on a meeting and everyone knows God is there, and the unseen world becomes terribly and wonderfully close, and preaching is transformed, and the preacher speaks with a boldness and an authority that's obviously supernatural. And hearers forget the preacher, and they hear only the voice of God speaking to their hearts. And familiar truths become real as they're preached. And those who listen tremble at the thought of God. They shake with fear. They're made aware of their sins. They're overwhelmed with wonder as they hear about the cross of the Lord Jesus. And filled with joy, they can't put into words. The singing's transformed. People sing as never before. They realize how wonderful the words are that they're singing. And conscious God is listening. And praying is transformed, and people pray with confidence and earnestness and a wrestling spirit. I won't let you go unless you bless me. And, you know, we've had tastes of that, haven't we? The best meetings we've been to. I want all meetings to be like that. I want to know that God is among his people when they meet. That would be the felt presence. And then many people converted. Real conversions, powerful, unmistakable conversions. I long to see people terrified at the thought of the wrong they've done to God. What must I do to be saved? Seeing them drawn to Christ and thrilled with him and overwhelmed by his willingness to save sinners and breaking with their old life completely and turning their back on the world and giving themselves in consistent obedience to Christ. I want to see this happening. One of the great proofs that the gospel is true is the fact that it's power to reach the hearts of every sort of sinner. I want to see young children saved and elderly folk in their homes, and to see bright young students saved, tramps and beggars. I want to see God's saving power working amongst wealthy businessmen, and asylum seekers and delinquent youngsters on street corners, not just university types. I want bricklayers and window cleaners and plumbers and the unemployed. And that's what happens when God works and when God blesses. And I want to see every member of the church filled with the Holy Spirit. That's another mark. I'm not talking now about a great crisis, but I'm saying every one of us ought to be brimful of the life of God every moment. If we were filled with the Spirit, we'd have a great sense of the love of God to us. We'd be able to say, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. And we'd love the Savior with a warm and steady love. And we'd long for the day when he comes again. And if we were filled with the Spirit, we'd love one another more warmly and more affectionately and more practically than we do. We'd pray for one another more consistently. We'd commit ourselves to the life of the church more thoroughly. We'd be eager to be with our fellow believers, and we'd do everything in our power to be at the meetings. We'd look forward to being at the Lord's Supper and feeding on Christ. We'd be filled with the Spirit, and we wouldn't be doing anything dubious. We'd turn away from filthy entertainments and distractions. Those are the great marks of a revived church. And when he was calling for a revival, he wasn't just nostalgic about what happened 200 years ago, but he was filled with the practical necessity of the church being the body of Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit today. And that's what is missing. That's what's missing.
Praise God. Thank you so much for that necessary word. And by the way, Mike, out in Aberystwyth, Wales, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being such a blessing to me personally after I lost my precious wife. Both Mike and I were brothers who are widowers, just as you were, Reverend Thomas. And Mike has continued to pray for me when I have bouts of deep grief that still remain. And I know that he knows from where he speaks, having experienced the loss of a precious wife. So thank you very much, Mike. I will never forget you for your warmth, for your faithful prayer and encouragement and comfort and brotherhood.
And Mike, like me, has found himself a lovely wife.
Praise God for both of you. Well, God bless you, Mike. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and keep spreading the word in Aberystwyth, Wales and beyond. Let's see, we have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. Let's see, Chris, my brother, another great show. Dr. Thomas, with Dr. Lloyd-Jones being a Calvinist Methodist, who were his Christian influences? You said J.C. Ryle was one of yours. Did he have an influence on the doctor also?
Well, when he was 14, it was the bicentenary of the birth of some of the great leaders of the founders of the Calvinistic Methodist movement, people like Daniel Rowland and Howell Harris and William Williams Pantekellen. And the annual assembly, the session, was held in Llangaitho, in the village where he was a little boy. And he went along and he heard these moving stories of God raising up men who transformed the character of Wales morally and family life and in education, and made then the reality of God supreme in rediscovering then joy in the Holy Spirit. It made it a happier land. And so those stories then of the Calvinistic Methodist Fathers of Wales, of those men, that was a wonderful discovery for him. And the two volumes, which until 10 years ago were only available in Welsh, 1,200 pages, and a friend of mine, John Aaron, has translated them now, the two volumes, with the biographies of about a dozen men. And those two volumes have been published by the Banner of Truth. And Lord Jones would, on a Sunday night when he got back home, would love to read those volumes and the incidents, the vignettes of sanctification and new experiences and conversion and blessing that almost every page contains. So those books, I think, more than any other, whereas there were numbers of men who have become Roman Catholics, even in the royal family, and writers and politicians, Graham Greene, Tony Blair, Duchess of Kent, they went to Rome because they were dissatisfied with the pusillanimous weakness of Anglican and nonconformity, liberal humanism, and they wanted the supernatural, and they went there. Lord Jones didn't do that. Lord Jones then went to the Bible, and he went to the men who in the 18th century were powerfully used by God and learned from them and became the preacher he was because of their influence. And so I do commend them to you to read.
Amen. We have Joe in Athy, County Kildare, Ireland, who says, thank you for your continued labors with Iron Trepan's Iron Radio. There is a phrase associated with Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, logic on fire. Could your guest elaborate on what it meant in the ministry of the man? We touched on this earlier because of the DVD series, yeah. But perhaps you could elaborate on that?
Well, he mustn't be thought of just as some emotional shouter. That was the last thing he was. He was a scientist, wasn't he? He was a heart specialist. He was a man who moved amongst academics for the first 24 years of his life. And he came from a Welsh tradition which esteemed the intellect and logic. And, you know, the reason why we are Christians, there's only one reason why everyone listening to this program should become a Christian, is that it is true. And there's no better reason for you, any of you, to become Christians than that. On the third day, the tomb was empty, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and men who before that were fearful and sheepish became alive and filled with joy and the Holy Spirit, and took that message and transformed the whole bowl of the Mediterranean by their ministry and life. And they did it. If you read Acts 2, which is an account of Peter at Pentecost, a very logical development of the Bible and theology, and then the application to daily living. What must we do then? Well, we must repent and believe the gospel. And that structure of the apologia, the defense of the faith, the declaration of the faith. Luther at the Synod speaking there and saying, here I am, I can do no other. If I can be shown from the Bible or from just common sense that any of these things are illogical. Well, tell me, otherwise then I shall preach Jesus Christ and justification by faith in him. And the doctor did that. He did that with the Spirit from heaven, with the fires of the Holy Spirit burning in his heart as he preached them. That's what the phrase logic on fire, it's theology ablaze and accessible, declared by a man of God full of the Holy Spirit to a congregation, receptive and longing for more.
Amen. And Joe in Athy, Ireland, go to banneroftruth.org if you have not already acquired the DVD of Logic on Fire about the life and legacy of Martin Lloyd-Jones. You could get it there. I'm assuming that it would be less expensive from you to get it to the branch of Banner of Truth where the main headquarters is, actually, in Scotland. But go to banneroftruth.org and you'll find all the information that you need. And we are going to our final break right now. This is a brief, more brief break than the last one. If you'd like to join us on the air, send in your email now because we're running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeff Thomas in our conclusion of our discussion on Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make his glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that he will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe by God's grace that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 3944. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and this is our final segment of our interview today with Reverend Jeff Thomas. Time flew by too quickly for me. I love every second of interviewing this brother, and I look forward to his return. We are talking about Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. If you'd like a question asked on the air and answered by our guest, Jeff Thomas, please email it immediately because we're running out of time. chrisarnzen@gmail.com is the email address. We have Christopher in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who said, I had heard that the ecumenism of J.I. Packer and John Stott seriously damaged his friendship with Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Is this true?
Yes, it is true. Parker's association with the Roman Catholics was motivated by his desire to bring a supernatural attitude to Christianity, which Rome and evangelicals share, to bring moral resistance to the tide of immorality that's sweeping the Western world, and that they might be able to work together and do things together. So both in Britain, in a book, Growing into Union, and then in America, in association with the Roman Catholics there, Packer cooperated with them, and that brought great distress, not just to Lloyd-Jones in England, but to R.C. Sproul and the men there in America, who valued so highly Packer's writings, fundamentalism and the word of God, and evangelism and the sovereignty of God, knowing God, among God's giants, great books, the Introduction to the Death of Death, you know, things that will last. And we were so sorry about that, because the whole grief is that in the application of Christ's redemption to us, Rome puts itself, its priests, its ceremonies, its ministers, its oil, its bread, its wafers. That is the way that grace comes to the sinner. Whereas in Scripture, we see the Holy Spirit as the one who does this. The crucial importance of the ministry of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, applying the redemption of Jesus Christ to people. And so it was a very serious error, and I don't feel that there is a moral tide flowing through a nation which does not have as its inspiration and motivation a vital relationship with the God of the Bible. And that is the longing, that the Word of God shouldn't come in word only, but power and the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. And that is not a characteristic of the Roman Church. And I feel that there was a great weakness in Packer in introducing that cooperation, and it caused some division. And
did their friendship ever recover at all?
Well, Packer's written wonderfully, wisely, and helpfully about his debt to Dr. Lloyd-Jones, and shows a very charitable spirit. And John Stott spoke so warmly of him in his life, but still, there wasn't a withdrawing from that relationship with Rome, or John Stott's relationship then with ecumenists, with a fellow Anglican liberal with whom they wrote a book together, and that Stott refers to him as my brother all the way through the book, and the man denies the virgin birth,
wow,
the resurrection, and the heaven and hell, the blood of the cross as the only ground of redemption. Oh, dear. So sad.
Yes, very sad. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who asks, I know this question typically comes up whenever Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones is being addressed, but could you give us some enlightenment on what his views really were in regard to a second blessing?
Yes, that is, that is the question that most often is asked about him, and his stress on the need I think if he had used the word baptisms of the Holy Spirit, if he'd used the plural instead of the singular, that a man must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of us recognize that there are times throughout the history of the Church where Athanasius or Luther or Bunyan or the Wesleys and Whitfield and Spurgeon and Lloyd-Jones himself, when he preached, and everything was different. And there was a consciousness of the presence of God in the way that I've described it. The Spirit of God baptized that man as he preached that message. And Lloyd-Jones is longing for that, the closeness of an encounter with God through the Word, something happening in the church itself, in the services itself, something happens. God becomes very near. People are saved. Christians are given great assurance that God loves them and that He is their Lord and Savior. And that is what he is talking about. And he is saying, don't think that by correct exegesis and by a good history of redemption insight that this is going to be sufficient to energize and motivate and transform and save in a congregation. You must have the Holy Spirit being there and working there. And, you know, Joseph Hart says it, a form of words, though air so sound, can never save a soul. The Holy Ghost must give the wound and make the wounded whole. And really, that's what Lloyd-Jones is saying. I wouldn't have used all the words that he would have used to describe it, but he wasn't talking about tongue speaking as an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't a Pentecostalist like that at all. But he was saying, don't be satisfied with yesterday's experience or yesterday's knowledge. It's a day late for today. You need today the Holy Spirit to help you in your ministry. If you are to have an effective, saving ministry, cry mightily to the Holy Spirit to be with you and help you.
We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who asks, what do you think Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones would be most displeased with in regard to his fellow Calvinists in the 21st century if he were alive today?
He was a great encourager and very broad in the men he went to work for and to preach for. There were things that he was unhappy with. He was unhappy with limitations on declaring the love of God in Jesus Christ in preaching, to draw men and women, the willingness of God to receive and believe, and those who believe. I think he would want more gospel, more proclamation, more beseeching and entreaty and pleading with men and women to come and put their trust in Jesus Christ. The old, old story that those who know it best are hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. We have nowadays exposition. That is the theme again and again, teaching the Bible, big chunks of the Bible, going through it. It's not enough. The doctor would be urging us to preach Jesus Christ and to warmly welcome and invite sinners to an inviting Savior.
Amen. Well, if you could, in about a minute's time, summarize what you most want etched on the hearts and minds of our listeners today regarding this great hero of the faith, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I love his accessibility, his humility, his openness to our questions, our concerns. His faithfulness in remaining in that church and preaching the word of God, and that he had no confidence in gimmicks, that what the apostles used to turn the world upside down, a godly life, the preaching of the word, and prayer. And those were the means that he used that God honored so much. The power of the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The power of prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, avails much. And the power of faith, Hebrews 11, they subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness and obtained promises through faith. And the doctor would say, never neglect the power of the word or prayer or faith.
Amen. Well, remember, prayer and preaching is the theme of the Foundation's conference coming up in December, where our guest, Jeff Thomas, will be speaking, among other men. If you would like more information, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Don't forget you can discover the writings of our guest, Jeff Thomas, at banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. I want to thank you so much, Reverend Thomas, for being on our show today. I look forward to many future returns, God willing. I just savor every second of our interviews. And if you could,
it's been my privilege and pleasure. Indeed, Chris. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, if you could remain on the phone until we go off the air, because I want to give you a proper goodbye off the air.
Okay.
And I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.